Good evening, Jim. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you, Andrew.
What's the Lewin Centre?
The Lewin Centre is a building located in Perth, Western Australia, which has co-located the remote sensing interests of a number of different groups in the West. They include Curtin University, for whom I work, the CSIRO, the State Department of Land Administration, TAFE, and a commercial company called World Geoscience Corporation.
And you folks are working on a satellite project, I believe.
Yes, we're making preparations now for the reception of CWIFS, which is an ocean colour sensing satellite, which is due for launch now in September 1994.
CWIFS, what does that stand for?
CWIFS stands for Sea Wide Field of View Sensor. It's a scanning instrument which looks over about a distance of some 1,500 to 2,000 kilometres as it traverses the Earth in our region.
So we've got a satellite that's going to be placed into orbit. When will that be?
When? In September 1994, this year.
Oh, right. So it's not too far away. And who's putting the satellite up?
The satellite's actually a joint venture between NASA and a private company, a commercial organisation called Orbital Sciences Corporation. And in fact, this is the breaking ground for NASA because in the past they've handled all of their missions on their own. But this is, in fact, a commercial satellite for which commercial licences will be available for people to process the data that's sent down from the satellite in real time to solve real problems as they occur.
Mm. So the satellite will have a camera, or a sensor, I think it's called, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes, and this points down towards the ground?
Down towards the ground, but it also scans from side to side using a mirror so that we can get information not just at a point beneath the satellite, but for quite some distance either side as it travels essentially from pole to pole, gathering information, and we can receive that information for as long as we can see it from our building in Perth.
Now, most satellites that go up these days, of course, don't just simply have a sensor in one colour or one band, as we sometimes call it, or a channel. This is going to look in many different colours, isn't it?
That's right. There'll be eight channels, as you say. Most of those will be in the visible region, the colours we can see with our eye, but there will be a couple more out in the near infrared, which is just beyond the visible region.
Why use infrared rather than just visible light?
The infrared is quite important for doing the atmospheric correction. There are certain aerosols, small particulate matter in the atmosphere, which is quite sensitive to infrared radiation, and we can use that to assess its amount and then make correction, because indeed the signal that we receive from the satellite is in parts of the colour spectrum. Nearly 80% derived from the atmosphere and not from the ocean, so that needs to be carefully removed.
So the objective then is to actually study the ocean?
The principal object is to study the ocean. There are certainly people who are interested in data from this satellite because of what it tells us about atmospheric aerosols, but certainly the primary reason that it was launched is to look at the ocean and the contents of the ocean.
And what are the main contents you're going to be looking at?
The principal component is the amount of chlorophyll A, which is an indicator of marine bioproductivity. And indeed, this sensor is a significant advance on an older sensor, which ceased transmitting in, I think, about 1986, which was capable of telling us how much chlorophyll A, but unable to separate it from the dead biological material. So that to get a true representation of just how much live biological material there is in the ocean, this new sensor with its extra channels can help provide that information.
By biological material, do you mean fish and sharks or and smaller things as well?
Oh no, much, much smaller than that. We won't be seeing fish or any large marine organisms. What we'll be seeing is the small marine organisms that form the first part in the food chain. And it's because these very small organisms absorb different amounts of light in different colours that forms the basis of being able to detect the amount that's in the ocean.
A bit like the plants on the land absorb mainly red and blue light and reflect mainly green.
Indeed. The difficulty which comes out in processing satellite data is how small the signal is, how much of the light goes into the ocean and how little comes out. But certainly the principle is very much the same. And given that the small plant life in the ocean does absorb, given the opportunity to scatter and come back out the surface again, well then the information about the content of the ocean is, if you like, encoded into the light which leaves.
Why do we want to know how much chlorophyll is in the ocean anyway?
Well, there's a number of reasons we may wish to know. Certainly those people who are engaged in the fishing industry would like to know what the basic food stocks are for the lowest level of the food chain from which they make their living. There are those people who are interested in the global carbon budget for studies in...
General biospheric circulation.
The circulation, but also the greenhouse effect, because the carbon dioxide, which is part of the cycle for these small organisms, is largely... These organisms are very... let me put it like this. About 70% of the Earth's surface is covered by ocean. We tend to think that carbon dioxide emissions are controlled almost solely by human activity, but with so much surface of the Earth covered by marine organisms, in fact, they play a significant role in adding to carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
The oceans being, as you said, so large, they must absorb a huge amount of carbon dioxide and dissolve it, just like a fizzy drink does. And of course, the materials in there are using that carbon dioxide, aren't they, to make their body mass?
Indeed, that's right. That's precisely right. And that's what we seek to measure in order to get a measure for these particular science, to get a measure of how that carbon is cycling through the Earth's systems. I mean, there are certainly other reasons why people are interested in ocean colour, because not only does it tell us about the contents of the ocean, but it also acts as a tracer for ocean currents. And so people who are normally known as dynamical oceanographers may well be interested in tracing those currents to work out general circulations.
Would that be of any use to a shipping company that wants to sort of route their ship so that they get a bit of a... a tow along by the tide or the current?
Indeed. I mean, as I said at the beginning, this is the first commercial operational satellite with which NASA has been involved, and it's certainly the Orbital Science Corporation, the people who are fronting the commercial side, certainly believe that there's a commercial market out there, and that would certainly be one of the candidate industries to fund them.
How small a detail will the satellite be able to detect?
The satellite is not... the footprint on the ground is approximately a kilometre, so it's not a very high detail satellite, but the reason that satellites of this type often need to have large footprints is because we require them to see quite a lot of the ocean in our region when they come over. Because of the type of modelling that we need to do. We really need to know, for ocean studies, what's happening on a daily basis and not have to wait for the satellite to go over a particular small region, again in 7 or 8 or 9 days' time.
You've mentioned that this is a commercial project, and you've also indicated that perhaps oceanographers would be interested in the data. Who else would be buying this data?
Certainly... This satellite is going to be of interest to people who are interested in atmospheric physics as well. Although originally designed for the ocean, presently there are no other satellites in our skies which contain or potentially can deliver as much information about the atmospheric aerosols, which also play a role in the global heat exchange and potentially important in greenhouse effects.
What do you mean by atmospheric aerosols?
Aerosols are those non-gaseous parts of the atmosphere. They could be sea salt particles near the surface of the ocean. They can be sulfate particles that are derived from volcanic activity very high in the atmosphere. And they can be small water droplets fog is essentially an aerosol. It's a very extreme form of aerosol, but many aerosols much smaller than that we don't normally see with the naked eye, but we can detect perhaps as haze in a city or in the early morning in the country.
So like the haze from the Blue Mountains is eucalyptus oil aerosol, is it?
I suppose it is. I've not ever studied eucalyptus oil aerosol, but I'm sure that's what it must be.
Okay. Now, the satellite is just commercial, but it's basically an American project. Let's get back to your particular involvement in this. What are you actually going to be doing with the data?
Okay, my particular interest is to ensure the quality of the data that the oceanographers and other people in the ocean community finally get to use. I mentioned earlier that in certain parts of the visible spectrum in which we work, the signal that is received by the satellite is perhaps 80% derived from the atmosphere and never even reaches the ocean surface. And so those things have to be carefully removed in order for us to do quantitative studies with ocean parameters. We're trying to not just say where the chlorophyll is, where the algal blooms are in the ocean, we're trying to say how much there is of them. And so if we're going to work in units and say there are so many milligrams per cubic metre of a particular pigment, we need to be very, very careful about how we remove this large atmospheric signal.
Mm. So are you going to get involved in the marketing of the data afterwards, or are you just simply a research at this stage?
At this stage we work in a research mode, and we have an agreement with NASA to allow us to do that. It does mean that we only have access to the data after about a 15 to 30 day period, because it's sent down in a coded form and we're only allowed to decode it after that period has elapsed. The reason for that is simply to protect those people who are working in an operational mode and have paid to receive the data. However, we are working already on some projects with a commercial company who are interested in looking for natural oil seeps on the ocean surface, and should we be able to satisfy their fairly stringent demands, there may well be a commercial license in the offing.
Why would you want to know, apart from the environmental issues, about oil seeps on the ocean?
It's an indicator that there's something interesting underneath the ocean right just there.
We may find the next Bass Strait oil field or something like that.
Oh, possibly. I wouldn't like to make any predictions like that. But an interesting point came out. There was a very interesting point that was made to me only today, that because of the launch date of this instrument, in fact, the southern ocean will see the very first spring bloom using this instrument, which means that we could find ourselves under some considerable pressure from our northern hemisphere partners to make sure that we can deliver the product on time.
Mm. Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Jim.
Thank you, Andrew.